Welcome to another eye-opening episode of
Revealing the Truth About Islam,
the show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam.
Exposing the life of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran.
It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
Hi. I'm not Usama Dakdak, but welcome to the show.
Neither am I. Usama will be here. We're guessing between 5 and 10 minutes. He's on the road today, and he's trying to get here as fast as he can to join us, but life is what it is.
Did he tell you that he may be joining us by phone? I need to double check on that. So.
No, I didn't, and I think he's going to be getting to us. Studio, I don't know about by phone.
Well, you know, when you saw him talk to me this afternoon, he did say that. So I am going to keep an eye on the phone line for Blog Talk Radio, just in case. So if I forget and we haven't seen him, go, Chrissy, check. Remember to look for him.
Okay, so. I didn't even think about that. That would be interesting. Oh, boy. We'll see how that pipes in. It'll work because of you, not because of me.
Well, we'll make it work. We just have to trust the Lord that I've had to trust the Lord on everything I've ever done online. And I'll tell you, it's been a journey for a lot of years. It's been a journey. But, you know, I'll just let people know, I used to do a broadcast on network radio and then later on internet radio. And then I did a local internet television broadcast, and always under the title of End Times in America. And I am going to start doing that again. So I will be doing some articles, reviewing some articles that I've written over the years, and also current events and politics, because that really is my forte. Even though I've been working with Usama for a lot of years, Paul, I got acquainted with Usama many years back when my book came out, which was dealing with the topics of end times. And I had foreseen from my view that the Bible clearly indicated that Islam or something like Islam would be a big part of the end times. So I was very naive about what Islam was, but I knew that. I went to my pastor about it, and we had a great talk, and he said, put your book out just like it is. And so after the book came out, that's how people connected me with Usama later on, because I didn't know enough about Islam to be able to comment on it. And this was like in 2005. The book came out in 2003. But by 2005, when I was on the radio, I had been talking about this issue with whatever limited knowledge I had, and had really been asking God, help me to learn more about this, because I don't want to be commenting on something I really don't understand. But guess what? The Lord sent Usama along, and there we were. I said, man, isn't this amazing? I could get somebody here to help me understand Islam. And, of course, I realize it's critically important for people to know about this particular thing.
I think that if there's any one thing you can do today to discover the evils of Islam, I would say pick up two books. Number one, Usama Dakdak's The Generous Quran. Pick that up in a heartbeat. I've got an electronic copy. I've got the hard copy. All right. I use both. I use both of these.
Yeah.
Okay. We're doing a series. Usama has joined the series that we're doing called Dissecting the Quran. It's you'll find it at a DQS channel on YouTube. And I think it's it's an incredible piece. I think we're into what, I don't know how we're in, we just finished chapter 51 today. We're going through it, and it's just kind of mind-numbing going through it. But again, pick this up. The other book, you want to know more about Islam? As you can tell, I keep things near me. This is because of my background. Reliance of the Traveler, pick it up. These two books are essential to understanding Islam. You miss a lot without these two books. You got to get the primary. I say go to a primary source. I'm a retired social studies teacher. Pick up the primary sources. Pick up the ones that the Reliance of the Traveler, it proclaims in there that it's an excellent translation. And the funny thing is, it's the Muslim Brotherhood who sponsor this book, and they're the ones proclaiming it's an excellent translation. When you meet someone, they'll say, what are you talking about? Well, yeah, they're not allowed to talk about Sharia. But you'll find this. It's an outstanding thing, and it will, these two books will shatter everything you thought you knew. And that's what I will say about them. You'll read it. I'm going through the Quran for the first time, totally through it with Dr. Kufar and with Usama when he joins us. And I have to say, I'm becoming more and more convinced that whoever wrote this, whether it's Muhammad or somebody else, might have had traumatic brain injury. He is chronologically impaired. I'm looking at it from a retired. I was a special ed social studies teacher, and I am someone who could definitely tell you that after having worked with traumatic brain injury, worked with a lot of learning disabilities, yeah, that's what I see. Definitely need those two books. Pick them up. I want to share my first news story. I'm going to share my screen right here. This will blow your mind. This comes out of SUNY Albany, and it's a picture I'm sharing from my LinkedIn profile. So I'm putting it up this way so everybody can see it. I hope you can all read this. This says it has and remains to be a war against the Jews. This week at the University of Albany, this poster was prominently displayed at a residence hall for undergrads. It continues the lethal obsession with Jews. I want you to take a look at this. It's always been a war on the Jews. Arab Liberation Army, you take a look at that, 1930s. You take a look at that picture. And then look what they posted this week at the University of Albany. Albany's about 600 miles from me.
Let me see that a little closer. So the picture on the right was a poster.
Yes.
For 2022. They were not posted together, right?
This is what they posted, yes.
They put this all together?
Yeah, the person put the two pictures together.
Okay. And, all right. That's
the one on the right is what was posted in Albany.
Right, but the other one, was it posted together?
No, this wasn't part of the poster. This is the history behind it. You look at it.
Right.
That's from 1930s.
Yeah, I'm just asking. So the one on the Arab Liberation Army 1930s, that was not posted alongside this one that says resistance.
No, they don't want you to know that. That's for sure.
All right, thank you. I just wanted that to be very.
Yeah, I'm going to also share what some people on LinkedIn said, which I thought was interesting.
Really yeah.
So, Hub Dumont, I love this gentleman. He wrote, "Those who publish these images in their campus apparently don't know that what is being wished upon Jews in Israel may also one day end up on their own roofs. An example from France, many French Jews fleeing their country recalled an Islamic phrase in Arabic, first the Saturday people, then the Sunday people."
Exactly. Thomas said that for years. People, your war on the Jews is also that you have – the United States must be eliminated because of Israel and their protection of Israel, this will be a huge problem, according to biblical prophecy later on. Yeah.
I'm going to ask people, I know you're, those who are watching, if you could smash that like button and please share this out. I know I didn't do enough publicity today, which I normally do some. Please go out and share. And XYZ, thank you for also pointing out the free Dropbox provided by Dr. Lloyd DeJong, who's one of the leading experts on Sharia. He's provided a large number of resources, and one of those is you can get your own copy of Reliance of the Traveler there at his Dropbox. And, yeah, please do take advantage of that. The other comment in here is by Evan Levine. Says, hello, Senator Schumer, who is one of our state senators, and he won't answer your phone calls, but he does hang up on you, and he doesn't believe there's such a thing. He doesn't believe in endorsing and protect. He won't support Israel. So this man wrote, hello, Senator Schumer, too busy talking about the size seats on commercial planes? Well, it's because he doesn't care about the rest of, you know, he only cares about what he wants to care about. He has no concerns about anything that's important to people in New York State. He doesn't really have a concern. And I can say that, again, because he's my senator and he won't take my phone calls. So that's my issue with him.
Well, he's an interesting person to have. I don't find him credible on any level. If he took your phone calls, what good would it do? But yeah, he could be at least a little bit concerned about the things that concern the American people, but he's not.
Do you have an article?
I do. I have several. I was just trying to pull this one up to see if I could get a little bit more on this discussion, because I have been very interested in the development of these latest war that has been declared in the Ukraine against Russia. And America's foreign policy is really causing me to wonder what on earth our leadership is thinking. So the article that I have, I'm very interested in for that reason. Here is the article, and I'm just having a little bit of problem, like I told you, with Blog Talk. So give me a second to get up here and get this article. I've got it, but now it doesn't want to let me get to the top of it to read it. And the headline, I got to close that one. Hold on. We'll be right back. No, it doesn't want to let me do anything. I was having problems a little bit when we started the program, so let me see.
It looks like your screen is frozen, so that might,
yeah,
the computer,
yeah,
might be slowed down.
It is. So we're going to, we're going to have to give me just a minute, Paul. Can you hear me okay, though?
I can hear you fine. That's the good thing.
Yeah, all right. Well, here's the article. It's talking about Putin as being a fighter of the Antichrist and a fighter of Satan. I know from a ministry that my pastor was involved in for many years that in the countries surrounding Russia, there was at one time a very clear effort to bring the gospel into Russia, into these communist countries. And I know the people that were personally involved in that. It was a program called the Kindness Foundation. If you're interested, you can look that up. And several people from Russia, including a doctor who is a woman that came and spoke to our church many times, she had promoted the idea that if Russia wanted to bring revival of values into Russia, into these communist countries, the best thing for them to do was to begin teaching the Bible again. Under the Kindness Foundation, a lot of teachers, Christian teachers who were involved in Christian education and familiar with the Bible, were invited to come to teach teachers the Bible. The Bible had been outlawed for a lot of years before that. And so I'm very interested in what is happening as a follow-up to now we have Putin, who is at a, in a war. United States, on, in my opinion, shouldn't be involved at all, but it's about a lot more than people understand. The Nazis have a very prominent role in Ukraine military. And what we're being told in our media, I don't know how many of you really believe what we're hearing in the media anymore.
Some echoing kids.
You're echoing. We weren't echoing before.
I just came in.
I know.
We're not hearing it.
Yeah. Well, we were not echoing before. So
I don't hear it.
Hi, Usama. Okay. Anyway, point is, look more closely before you.
The story with Ukraine.
Try to understand.
And I'll tell you, I have friends who work in intelligence. I have friends who work in forensics. Contacts who are former intelligence officers or analysts. And the issue is this. The issue is this. We're not getting all the information.
No, of course.
We're getting pieces. You cannot trust, and this is what I'm going to say.
Sad.
Don't trust anything. I don't care if it's from me. I don't care who it's from. Don't take it all as gospel. You have to keep listening. My biggest problem is you cannot take every, you have to take it as pieces. You can't take it as the gospel because there's not. This is probably the biggest propaganda piece that I've ever heard.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at, Paul. There's a lot more to this than people know. And
yeah, I'm stuck with it.
The Greek.
Christy's going to probably echo a little bit, and that is because she's sharing out on Blog Talk. Somebody's hearing it, so I'm just saying there.
Yeah, hold on.
I'm not hearing it from my end.
We're going to deal with it.
I can hear it very well here.
Yeah, Usama's hearing it. I apologize. I'll shut up. Always seems.
That's okay. If you can check your laptop, maybe.
I've checked everything, Usama. It's okay.
Yeah.
I don't need
all
to
right.
say anymore.
So
you're here.
Over. I'm glad that you fill in for me being late. I apologize. I just came in from a good 4-hour drive or so. I was performing a wedding for my beautiful niece, and it was a good wedding, and I kind of had fun with it. So,
I'm muted and you're still echoing. So I'm muting. Talk.
Do you have any other program open in the commuter? Not just one. You have two open.
No, she can only.
I don't have.
Through here, she can't. She can't. Her mic is muted for here.
Well, I can hear you, Paul. There's no echoing. But
can you hear me? Can you hear me, Usama?
Okay.
Hello.
All right. Can you hear that voice for me, Paul?
You could hear me?
All right.
I can't hear from anybody, though. So that's just me.
I'm muted.
And it could be me.
All right. That is good. Anyway, good to be with you guys. Hey, Paul, do you remember I asked you to play the song for me?
All right, let me just get there.
That's a good song. Maybe while we're playing it, we can figure out what's wrong with this echoing.
I think I know what it is.
I got a guest here, by the way, in my office.
Oh, and is that the dog?
He's happy to see Daddy, and he is He just did some chewing in my office for a good another couple thousand bucks. He loved to chew everything in my house. What is wrong with you?
Oh, I know why.
You can't believe me at all.
Okay.
All right. All right. I think I can hear myself backwards again, Paul.
Maybe hold on a minute. I'm trying to.
All right. God is good. And I saw this song with last week with Paula J. I was speaking at church in Louisiana. I said, you know what? I'll send it to Paul. If Paul can get it ready and play for us, it'll be fun. Here it is.
Just a second. And I'll grow the screen. I'll have it for everybody. Come on. Hold on a second. Sorry. I know why we're having a problem. All right. I know what's going on. I know why we're hearing issues because of the... All right.
Imagine there's no bread. It's easy if you try. No tacos or hot sauce. Nothing cold or fried. Imagine all the people living in the gulag.
Yeah, I can.
Imagine there's no money.
No money.
It isn't hard to do.
Not hard to do.
Nothing to eat or drink now.
Not a crumb, not a drop,
and no bacon, too.
And no bacon.
Imagine
all the people
living short lifespan.
You may say I'm a commie, but I'm not the only one.
He's
not the only one.
And someday
you will
join us.
You'll join us.
Or we'll shoot you in the face. Imagine no possessions, because all your stuff was redistributed. Lots of greed and hunger.
I hope you like catfish.
But seriously, can I have a potato?
I am elder. Imagine
all the people sharing all your stuff.
Yeah.
Imagine all the people. This is a song. We're joking about it and we're being funny about it. But the reality, this could be the reality of America in 10 days. I'm not kidding you guys. If the Democrats will have any type of victory in the next 10 days, well, guess what? America will be Venezuela before the end of Mr. O'Biden's term. Because they're going to win 2024. They're going to win 2026. They're going to win 2030. And there's not another election after that. This is the reality. I cannot emphasize as much as I can with every breath of life in me. You need to go vote. And make sure the rest of your friends and your family vote. Because I just can't imagine. I can't imagine. I hear the Democrat. After just a few hours ago, I'm traveling in my vehicle, coming from Illinois to here to Missouri, and I hear the liberals say, oh, they're going to keep the Senate. And they maybe also keep the Congress. I mean, both houses. Like, well, if they can do that under the condition we're in right now, I will not doubt that America will be Venezuela before another year from now. It will be the fastest explosion because they're going to be communist, socialist in America, and you'll never hear about your son, but Christy or Paul. We're going to be a history.
So we're going to be disappeared.
People are going to disappear. That's how communists work.
You need to vote.
I mean, they already arrested several people without any charges and over January 6th, so, yes.
Yeah, and those people are in worse conditions than if they were at Gitmo, which they were asking to be transferred to Gitmo so they could get humane treatment.
We're
farther down the road than people realize, but if you're going to change this and vote, you need to go vote in person. If you get a ballot mailed to you, take it sealed with you to the polling place and tell them you want to vote in person. If they tell you you already voted, you report it to your sheriff's department.
Sure.
That is because the sheriff in every county is the highest ranking law enforcement official in every county. He outrules the CIA, the FBI, the local police department, and any other law enforcement agency you may have. The sheriff is in charge. That is one thing that could help us save the country. If your sheriff's a jerk, and that is important to know, people vote for the sheriff. You better know who you're voting for your sheriff.
Sure. You know what, Christy, I'm just so worried. I've never been as worried as that. Because last election, we saw it. I mean, we know for sure we won, but somehow they did this garbage on us, and they stole the election from us. And I can only imagine if we go in November 8th and then we do not know who won because they're going to stop the counting on the night of the 8th. And
then they already told us they're going to do that in Pennsylvania.
Sure. They're going to count on the 9th and the 10th and the 11th. And now another couple of weeks later, and we got, trust me, if we do not hear who won and who lost on November 8th, it's most likely going to be like,
We never had this kind of problem. And then Obama came in and he transferred all the counting, the tallying of our American election votes to a company in a foreign country. And now these Democrats are saying they want to bring foreign people in to supervise our elections. They're seeing that because they're fearful.
I wonder if those foreign people are going to come from China or from Russia.
Oh, no, they'll be coming from Iran. You know, the hub of democracy. Yeah, they'll be bringing all the really, you know. No, it's ridiculous. And if you are not on the list to be a poll watcher, you can still be a citizen poll watcher and pay attention to what's going on.
I'm working it, so I'm going to be there in New York State. So,
and if you don't,
I applaud anybody else who also is working.
Yeah, if you don't know what's going on in terms of the problem with the voting machines, you guys need pay attention to the work of Mike Lindell, Pillow guy. He has exposed so much that is going on with these voting machines. People who are experts in the field saying we will never have a fair election if we don't get rid of those machines, and that came out with a ruling, what was it, in Wisconsin, where they said, yes, they now know that the voting machines were connected to the internet and they were manipulated. Of course.
That's why, Christy, that's why we must win every seat possible in every state right now, especially governors, because if this garbage lies of machines and whatever else, absentee ballots, if they continue to do it with us in the next election in 2024, for sure we're not going to win.
Secretary of State is your most important official. regarding elections. Secretary of State.
But we have to push it through everybody else in the government because
no,
he's a little,
but you are voting. Many people are on the ballot. Your Secretary of State are on the ballot.
Yeah,
you
no,
want conservative, huh?
Not in most in a lot of states, Secretary of State don't get elected; they get appointed.
That well, there are many Secretary of States right now that are running. There are many of them.
Yeah.
And
let me get back to my original point.
Yes, go ahead.
The way I hear the Democrats talking about they're going to win the Senate and they're going to be wonderful, okay with the Congress, it's one of the two things. These people are the most stupid, naive people, or they really have plan B. And plan B, God save us, because if we have plan B, we should steal election again. I don't know what America is going to look like. I don't know.
I don't know that
this is the funny thing. I'm laughing about Pennsylvania saying they won't be able to count the absentee ballots, which are due. They had to be turned in early, okay, before the election night. So this is where I think it's funny when it comes down to it. They say they can't count them because there's too many, but at the same time, if you had listened to
Brother Paul, how many millions live in Pennsylvania?
I couldn't tell you.
We got 43 million in France, and they counted on the same line.
Yes. Yeah.
Do we
and
have
they don't.
In Pennsylvania?
And they don't use machines. They count them.
I know. They did
paper ballots.
Do we have 40 million in Pennsylvania? There's
no
40 million in Pennsylvania.
No, they don't.
They can do it by 9 o'clock, 10
it's,
o'clock the most.
It's a farce. They are preparing to do everything they can to overturn what should be a Republican wave across the country.
We get enough votes to make sure that idiot, the American
Fetterman, Mr. Fetterman, who's had a stroke, who can't communicate clearly, who can't understand oral communication, is a better candidate.
I don't know. Years ago, I don't know if you guys remember that or not, but years ago, they were talking about the health of Trump. They were talking about the health of Bush, second term. Then they said, oh, he did not release his doctor's report. And they made a big deal when Trump, he looked like a camel to me, eating more hamburgers than I can eat. And like, literally, Trump like a camel to me. And he proven to be healthy. But they were talking about, we need the paper, the health care. Why do we do that with the Senate seat?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm sorry to say this, but even if they can, you ask them to produce something, my thought on this is that they will get it. It will be falsified. They will get whatever you want because they have that much influence and corruption over people who can provide them what they need. I mean, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We are in deep trouble.
And one more thing I have to say also. Remember before the last election, I told people, if Biden wins, you're going to ruin this. Literally, you're going to see this country being destroyed. And why did this happen? Now, if this midterm is any cheating, I don't want to hear anybody complain about anything else. If they arrested your husband and put you in jail and do whatever they do to you, don't just complain, just keep your mouth shut. Because America is no more. I don't know how much they can do, how far they can do with corruption in this government. Because I've seen it in Egypt, guys. You're talking about our president Egypt used to win 99.9. When in fact, I know for sure that at least 30+% Muslim jihadi would never vote for him. And you can imagine that 99.9. That means all the Muslim jihadi of Egypt voted for Sadat and voted for Mubarak. When in reality, it's not. This could be in America. If it happened in Egypt, it would happen in America.
Well, speaking of that, Usam, I was just watching some video that I had recorded from when Obama ordered Hosni Mubarak to step down. And this is, not only unprecedented, but ungodly. And this created an open door for the Muslim Brotherhood. I am telling you, people involved in the election in the United States of America, I went to their training online and heard them brag about how they were responsible for taking out Hosni Mubarak. American citizens in Egypt fomenting anger and hostility. And Usama, you know that when Obama went to Egypt to speak, it was his first speech, and he went to a Muslim country to have a speech and insisted that the Muslim Brotherhood attend his speech.
Could be that speech, nobody talked about in America as much as I and you talked about it. There was, for the first time, everything about the visit of Obama to Egypt and the speech of Obama to Egypt, it was always for the first time. Let me share with you, for example. For the first time, when a prime minister, which is a very important person, the president of the United States of America, when he went to Cairo to speak at the university there, for the first time, the Muslim Brotherhood attended his speech. Because normally, they sweep the streets, they clean the community. Not one Muslim Brotherhood will be available because their fear that that one Muslim will kill that foreigner, the prime minister of some country. But for the first time, it was Mr. Barack Obama speaking in Egypt, and the Muslim Brotherhood attended his speech. Now, it was the first time a Muslim, a president of any foreign country, come to Egypt and recite the Quran for us.
Yes.
Allah said, as it is written in the Holy Quran, Allah said, five verses. We never had a president or a prime minister, even the Muslim who come to Egypt, they don't quote the Quran for us. So that's the first time. Now, normally in the Muslim world, from the days of Muhammad until today, that is the last 1400 years. When somebody reads the Quran, you listen to it quietly. You don't clap hands. You don't shout Allahu Akbar, but you don't dance. For the first time in the history of Islam, that a foreign president read the Quran, recited the Quran, and people shouted Allahu Akbar, and they clap hands and they dance. For the first time, a foreigner Muslim, a foreigner president, like from America, come to America and say, Assalamu alaikum. I mean, that is the greeting of the Muslims to Muslims. And for the first time in the history of Islam, when they heard the statement, Assalamu alaikum, they danced, shouting Allahu Akbar. And it's like somebody scored a goal in the top game sport of soccer in Egypt. It was like unbelievable. First time. How many first time do you want to hear?
And you see, Rob in the chat room made that comment. So Obama's part of the Islamic Brotherhood, Muslim Brotherhood. Absolutely.
He empowered them. He empowered the Muslim Brotherhood.
He helped overthrow a secular president, Mohamed Morsi. And I'm sorry, Hosni Mubarak, and then brought in the Muslim Brotherhood to head Egypt.
You have to understand that. The Muslim Brotherhood are trying to get that position for almost 100 years.
Yeah.
From the days of Hassan al-Banna, and then his second guy, Sayyid Qutb, all the days in the days of Jamal Abdel Nasser, all the days of Sadat. We're talking about 30 years of that and 30 years of Mubarak. Almost 100 years. They're trying hard to get that office, and they could not. And Mr. Barack Obama handed it to them.
Here you go. And then these same people, like I said, in the United States before the election, bragging about how they were going to not allow Trump to win. You know who was one of those people? The head of Dominion voting machine, Eric Coomer, bragging about it. They bragged how they would not allow Trump to be president, and they bragged about how they overthrew Hosni Mubarak in Egypt. Wow, what is going on in America? And friends, the fact that you need to be praying for this country, if you're a believer, pray for America.
We cannot say it more enough that we must vote. And you know what? If I have any speaking engagement, my mother-in-law, for heaven's sake, she's 94 years old. She says she's going to the court. She's going to vote. I said, Grandma,
I will make sure you vote.
So if a 94 years old can go and vote, she says, I don't care if it's going to be rain or snow. Well, guess what? She's going to vote, Lord's willing, if she's still alive on that day. But what about you? Are you encouraging people to go and vote? Guys, This is the end of America. Not just this election, by the way. From now on, every election could be the last one.
That's right.
So you might as well just get into it and vote all the time. And I pray that God will deliver and save this country from being a communist, socialist Venezuela. It took the communists of Venezuela to destroy this country in 24 years. Trust me, America will not, it will be less than 4 years. What if you saw what they have done in 2 years? Imagine have two more years like that?
You know, Usama, if people know the Bible, they're going to understand that the end time, it says there will be a worldwide, cruel, antichrist government system. And we can be watching. All they have to do is get rid of America, because we know God will not let them
get
rid of Israel.
It is only
Israel
is going to stand up against. And if they took over America, it is over for the
That's
whole world.
That's it. Then we'll be looking for Jesus. But you know what? Yes. We can fight our country.
Vote, and it's no joke. Take some people in your car if somebody cannot have a ride, and make 3-4 trips to the polls. Plan it. Couple days earlier.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, invite the Democrats to vote too, because they don't want this as well. They'd like to have more money in their pockets too.
Sure. It's common sense election today. It's common sense. It does not, you don't have to have a high school diploma. Have you bought any food lately? You bought gas? I mean, literally, and listen to that idiot or Biden. He made me mad last night or the night before. He said the gas now is real down, $3.39 average, and when he kicked about it was $5.50.
I was mad when I
was going to Illinois this morning. I stopped at the gas station at Jackson, Walmart Jackson. I put gas in it literally 2 years ago. Like that time, 2 years ago, it was $1.58. It was $1.58. I put it at $3.49. But think about it. I'm going to show you how stupid these Democrats are and how ridiculous. 158, 349. So 1 comes 7 4 9. I'm paying $1.91 more. Same time, Christy. I used to pay 158, and now I pay $1.91. You know what that means? I'm paying 115% more than last year this time.
No.
God is my witness. I got that receipt to show to any stupid Democrat who would like to argue with me. $1.58, $3.49. I'm paying $1.91. Figure it out. It's 115% or so more. I'm sick and tired of the garbage and these liars, and nobody can speak about it. And guess what? It's cheap right now because it's using our reserve gas, the gas which we only can use if we have war, if we have earthquakes, a hurricane, some real crisis. Wait November 9th or November 10th or whatever week when they decided who won and who lost. You're not going to be paying $3.49. It'll be $9.49. I mean, you think I'm stupid? I'm exaggerating. Those who live in California and live in New York, right now they're paying $6 and $7. But that guy's
I think
it will go up to how much you're paying for in New York.
I think it's actually worse than that, because he's down to 24 days of diesel left. So we've seen the attacks on the food processing centers. This actually means that the trucks run on diesel. And if there's no
diesel right now is $5.80. I saw my own eyes here in my city. $5.85 in Missouri. In Illinois, you add another dollar, so it's going to be $6 something, okay? But what I'm saying is, they are doing everything they can to keep the price down for the next 10 days. After the election is over, watch the number. How much gas is going to go? How much is going to go? How much food is going to go? How much empty shelves they're going to have in your stores? God, imagine. Just listen to the song again, guys. Please, go watch the game where there's no bread. America will have no bread, because that's what the Democrats want to do. They want to destroy this country
from within.
Sadly, I don't know that it's, say, they're Democrats. There are some of them that are really wondering what's going on. But here's the point. If you don't understand, the United States of America was energy independent. We were producing and selling with our gas prices down, we are not in any way short of the resources to provide for our own country. But it has been shut off and stopped. That is Biden. That was one of his first things, is stop drilling, stop doing production. That is why we are in trouble. And if you
close our own pipe and open the pipe for Russia, he gave Russia the money they needed for the war in Ukraine.
This is why I'm just saying, if you don't understand that it is deliberate actions by this administration
absolutely
to destroy
absolutely
American independence, everything that is going on could be fixed if the policies under the Trump administration had been left in place. He deliberately sat there, signed these papers the first day that Biden was in office to reverse everything that was giving us economic security. Now we're in deep trouble. But, you know, God can reverse and change things, but it won't happen if people don't wake up and realize you need to be responsible and accountable. When God gives you a country where they have the power to elect your leaders, you know, then God puts that responsibility in the hands of those who believe in the Lord. And I've been frustrated for years when Christians have been led to believe that they shouldn't get involved in politics, they shouldn't vote, they shouldn't do any of that. Then who's going to do it? People that don't know God and are going to make really bad decisions. I have never understood this mentality among Christian people.
Unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Well, we said enough. Go and vote. Encourage others to vote. Take everybody with you to vote. It doesn't matter. Sacrifice a few hours to make some trips to different places. Plan it earlier. Make sure that every vote will count. Moses voting if there's no cheating in this election. Paul, do you have anything else you want to say?
I have an interesting article out of Germany, which I wanted to share. Which
sure.
Put the link in the chat room. You'll want to use Google Translate. I after you use it so many times, it just normally does it for you. So for me, it's automatic. This is a sad article about a knife. It's titled Knife Attack with Two Seriously Injured in Spire. Afghan suspect arrested for the time being. Now, remember it mentioned an Afghan suspect, so this story actually starts someplace else. So pay attention. This is it's a two-part thing. It starts out the horror of a deadly knife attack by a Somalian refugee in Luglisfan, Ogasheim. I'm probably not saying that exactly right, but a few days ago it's still deep. Painter Jonas was stabbed with a stab in the neck when the perp severed his forearm and threw it into a balcony. The second victim, Shasha, wanted to help his colleague. The killer rammed the knife into his chest several times while he's said to have shouted, Allahu Akbar.
Mashallah.
Today, just a few kilometers from Luglisfan, another knife attack in Spire with two, this is a second attack in Spire, with two seriously injured. In a joint press release, the public prosecutor's office and the police speak of an intention to kill. Not too much to figure out there. On Friday afternoon, this was the 21st that this was written, a 27-year-old Afghan attacked his 16-year-old friend and her 36-year-old mother with a knife, according to the current investigation status. In apartment building, the perp fled the scene of the crime, was provisionally arrested during the immediate aftermath. There's another part to this story. At the same time this is going on, the Interior Ministry, Nancy Faeser, who has not yet commented on the process, tweeted, day three after the Islamic bloodbath in Luglisfan, a Somalian slaughtered two people and still no word from the Interior Minister, Faeser. Instead, she calls for more migration right after the fact.
She must be a Democrat, is she?
Maybe commie or fascist
in this time,
wants to destroy.
Paul, listen, Kevin.
Well, it's Germany.
In this time, when I say Democrat, it is no more or less than a communist or socialist. That's what it is. There is no Democrat like you think about. If the Democrats of America are 100% anti-America, they're socialist and communist. You don't think Europeans who are way, way, way ahead of us, about 15, 20 years, you think there's any Democrat there like they used to be 50 years ago or 60 years ago? It is goodbye a long time ago. The Democrats, they used to be, is goodbye in Europe especially. They're ahead of us 15, 20 years. So we need more refugees in America. I could not find one reason, and I say it again, I could not find one reason why Muslims are taken to Europe and to the West as refugees. Give me one reason, Paul, why we have Muslims from Somalia in Germany or in America. One reason. If they need a place to live for surviving for some hardship of war or famine or anything, there's a country that's called Saudi Arabia who will not take any Muslim from Somalia or from Kenya or from Nigeria or from any other country.
In Europe, they don't call them refugees. They only do that when they think they're speaking to Americans. They call them economic migrants.
Yeah, economic migrants. Might as well call them masters, because in reality, those whom you think you're reaching out to them by your hand to help them, they're going to bite your hand like a savage dog. You might as well call them masters and call yourself slaves, because sooner or later, the European, the German, and the British, and the Irish, and whatever, if you live in Europe somewhere, soon than later, because it may be a little bit later for America, you will be persecuted by those. Not only are they going to stab you and kill you, they're going to kill your men openly and going to rape your wife and your daughter openly, as it was in Muhammad's days 1400 years ago. The Islamic Sharia, Islamic law, will be practiced in Europe sooner than later. And America is coming next. Muslim refugees. Does it make any sense? Why we have Muslim refugees from Somalia and America? Why can't we get Christian refugees from Somalia to America or any other country which we bring Muslims from? Who are the persecuted? Are you not telling me that Christians in Somalia are killing Muslims? Or Muslims
they won't allow them to come here. We have O'Biden who refuses them.
I'm sorry, what?
We have O'Biden who refuses Christians from coming here.
I understand. Because Obama did the same thing before. Remember, Christy? We talked about Obama in 8 years, where he brings from some Muslim country 92%, 93% Muslim.
Yeah.
And less than 3-4% Christian from the same country.
It
was loading America. As a matter of fact, that garbage George W. Bush is the one who started that.
Yeah.
Let me remind you. We were in war in Afghanistan and Iraq. All been war. Everybody knows about it. And 3 years after September 11, all the Muslims of America, without joke, go check it out, they voted for George W. Bush. Why? I wondered, I don't know, is that an English word, I wondered?
Yeah, I wondered.
Okay. I wondered for a long time, why the Muslims of America like Bush, when in reality, he's supposed to be hated. He's killing the Muslims in two countries. Oh, I found out. Why he's engaging in war in Iraq and Afghanistan to open the countries for the Muslims to come from all over the Muslim world. Look at the statistics, okay? It looks like that. Let me draw it for you. I wish I'm using my brand new computer, because it would be much easier to use my computer than to do it by hand. It looks like that, ladies and gentlemen. Here it is. Watch my hand. Here it is. Here is the line of time. Here's the line of how many Muslims in America. Can you see that, Chris?
Yeah, we can see that.
All right. Here's Mr. Before September 11th. That's how many Muslims used to come to America. See it?
Yeah.
Now, we have the September 11th, and Bush is in charge, and the numbers start going like that. That's how many Muslims start coming to America in the 7 years when Mr. Bush was in control. Then Barack Hussein Obama comes, and guess what happened? See it online. The graphic is a normal
one. I've seen this graphic.
Then
yes.
Mr. Trump came in. The first year is just getting flattened like that. The first year for Mr. Trump, it was flat like that. The following year, it dropped down like that.
Yeah.
That's why they hate the Trump. Yeah. Muslims hate Trump because he stopped the invasion of the Muslims to America. And guess what? Biden came and it go up again. But see, yeah. In the case of Biden, it's not just about Muslims coming to America and have important offices. I believe because of Obama, we got the Muslims in the FBI. We got John Brennan, the head of CIA as a Muslim man. I believe maybe those people are the one who literally hurt Mr. Trump and who are doing all the chaos, which we don't know what's happening in America. Guys, we have no knowledge about who's controlling what in the FBI and CIA. We have zero knowledge. But I know that Mr. Bush put important Muslims and put Muslims in this country in important jobs. And Obama put me in even higher and important jobs.
Yes.
Now, Mr. Trump came and he calls them evil. He said, Islam hates us. And people mock it. By the way, there's a video. Hopefully, in the future, I want to play that video on our side here to expose the stupidity of that speaker who's mocking Trump and he's saying that Islam is a beautiful thing. What another idiot American, never heard of him before, we're going to expose him in a new study. Remind me of that, Paul. Remind
yeah.
me the video to expose that idiot who mocked Trump for saying is Muslims hate us, okay, Islam hate us. Then you see, Mr. Biden is not only bringing these people to the country, but we know for sure that the criminal, they will never come to America. Let me say it again. It doesn't matter because the record shows that they will never set a foot in this country through our embassies all over the Muslim world. They're coming through our borders. And don't you dare tell me that we stop any of them. They're so smart, beyond your imagination. They can come through the border without any paper. What are you going to say? See, to come to America from Egypt, for example, you have to go to Cairo, the embassy, American embassy in Cairo. Which means you have to present your paper, your birth certificate, and all have to be legal. So come through the border, you have nothing. You come in with a shirt over your shoulder and wet clothes because you were in the river, okay? So what are they going to do to you? Oh, you don't have any paper, we cannot come. See, I can come up with any name. I will make up a name. The vetting is close to minus one, not zero, minus one.
Which means
they can come through being not caught, like the 109, I believe they cut in the last few years. Many of them are not cut, or they just come with a new identity.
Well,
in fact, I will not be surprised. Some of them will speak Spanish, and they literally mock our intelligence, and they will think the guy is Mexican.
Well, there's a lot of video that I've watched already. Drew Hernandez and several others have been down to the border, and they've shown that the people who are helping them, and many of them are Americans, who are helping to bring in people in, they tell them, get rid of your ID. You go and look on the bank of the river, you will see IDs, birth certificates, driver's licenses, or ID cards from many different countries. They throw them away, and that is what they are told to do. Come
yes.
in with nothing.
And you know what, Christian Paul? We know that they're coming to America from 161 countries. But they never told the American people that 57 of these countries are Muslim countries. Mm-hmm. That is what's making me sick in my soul.
Well,
all right. Anything else, Paul, you want to share?
I had one more thing that I would like to share real quick.
Go ahead.
Let me try and get it really fast. It's just a short thing. There's a video which I'm not going to show, but President Biden is pushing the New World Order, and critics are worried. U.S. President Joe Biden has come under pressure ahead of the midterm elections for saying there is going to be a New World Order and that the United States must lead.
Amen.
That video, you know they don't want it out there, but it is a video, and there he is. Yeah, we're going to have a New World Order. The United States needs to lead that.
They have no idea what it is to have new order.
That's no, they don't order. Understand no, this.
It's literally the end of time. It
yes.
is really the end of time. And anyway, well, God is good. I just pray. 10 days, guys. 10 days. Not next for sure. Obviously, the second show will be in the end of what happened to America. I hope and I pray that we will be celebrating victory, not weeping woe to us what happened to this country. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll move on with our study, slavery between the history and Islam versus history, or history versus Islam, which I believe you're going to be shocked to know the differences. And I'm going to remind you again of why it is very important to have this study. A quick break and we'll be right back.
In one book to be the perfect, complete, and inspired word of Allah, the Quran. In fact, Muhammad claimed that his only miracle was the Quran itself. But is it a clear miracle of God, or is it just a confusing deception of man?
Over and over, Allah said through his prophet, in the Quran, that the Quran is a clear book, a very clear revelation, easy to understand. But is this true? Can a Muslim or any reader who reads the Quran understand the truth about subject as the creation, the life of the prophet, or even the life of Jesus?
Scattered throughout the Quran, Muhammad records bits and pieces of information about famous biblical characters, such as Adam, Abraham, Moses, David, Jonah, and even Noah. But this information is disconnected and fragmentary, contradicting the Bible and even contradicting itself.
10 years ago, the Lord put on my heart to write a book about exposing the lies and the errors of the Quran. But then we have faced another problem. All current English translations are corrupted. The English translator who translated the Quran to the English language hides many of the errors and the mistakes of the Quran from the English world. Then we spend several years to produce an accurate modern English translation of the Quran. And with that completed, we then begin production and have now finished our latest project, exposing the truth about the Quran.
In this powerful new two-volume set, you will discover one of the most thorough and comprehensive critiques of the Quran available in print. First, all of the references to important topics such as creation and the stories of the prophets scattered throughout the Quran are collected together into one place. Next, we examine the writings of the most respected Muslim scholars as they seek to understand these confusing and contradictory passages. Then, we demonstrate that Muslim scholars were forced to abandon the Quran and that they had to turn to the Bible for the true and authentic histories of these events in their futile attempt to reconcile the two. Finally, this comprehensive two-volume set proves that Muhammad contradicted the Bible and that the Quran repeatedly contradicts itself as it discusses these important issues.
It's time for the West to know the truth about Islam, to know the truth about its so-called prophet Muhammad. The Bible clearly teaches, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We must know and expose the darkness, the dangers, and the deception of Islam, not only to protect ourselves, but to bring the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the Muslims whom we love.
For ordering and more information, please visit thestraightway.org. Individual copies and case pricing is available.
And welcome back. We're glad to have you with us in this last meeting in the month of October. October 29 is the date of today, the year of our Lord 2022. As I said before, when we began our study, I'll repeat myself again. That's why it's important to learn about slavery in Islam. Because if you go right now, my dear friends, to any library in the West, and you look for books about slavery, you will find lots of books about slavery in the West. Slavery in America, slavery in Europe, slavery here, slavery there. And all the books were written did not mention anything about Allah, Muhammad, Islam. And when you read these books, you may come to the conclusion or you assume that these wicked people, the whites of Europe and the whites of America, still have slaves today. Guilty, guilty, guilty. We need to get rid of them. We need to revenge and take justice, bring justice to the poor black who live in the West. Not realizing that this is garbage, communist, socialist agenda to divide America. I mean, you think about having Mr. Barack Hussein Obama as president, and they call him the first African-American president, which is a dumb statement. Why? Because he had a white mama and an Arab daddy. White mama, Arab daddy does not produce African-American person. It's like I have a French father and a German mama, and you think that they have Swedish baby. No. French and British does not produce Swedish. Stupid. For the American people for 8 years, and now it is almost 16 years, talking about first African-American president. Obama is not African-American. Obama is Arab, white American. Have nothing to do with Africa. Obama have nothing to do with Africa. But if you think about what the media are doing, what the woke movement is about, it's about taking money from this wicked white who enslaved the black and got rich out of their sweat and their tears and their blood. No. You want to talk about slavery? You have to understand the true history of slavery. That is something we don't teach our children in our public schools, sadly, and we don't talk about it in our politicians. You want to talk about slavery? Let's talk about the people who are enslaved today, not those who history ended the existence of slavery in their land, like in the case of Europe and America. So as we go together to compare slavery in the and slavery in Islam, notice the huge difference between this slavery and that slavery. Let me remind you from our last program, we ended with this one slide here, okay? Share screen, and Lord is willing. If the sound is not good, so you guys have to bless me by reading them out loud. This is where we ended our last program, okay? Go ahead, Brother Paul, read this for me.
There are many abolitionists who fought against slavery in America, like John Brown, Dr. David Nelson, and Harriet Beecher Stowe. And there were thousands of white Americans who died in the Civil War for the cause of freedom.
Can you share with me anybody, I'd love to have a Muslim right now, to share with me any abolitionist who fought against slavery in Saudi Arabia or in any of your choice of one of the 57 Muslim countries? Can you share with me any Muslims who died to fight for the freedom of slavery in the Muslim world in the last 1400 years, including today? Do you know what happened?
Are we, is that correct that we're hearing?
Yes. Brother Paul, I didn't hear you.
Is that crickets we're hearing?
No, that's rain in the building.
No. Some of that's a saying.
Oh, crickets, because that's quiet and silent.
Means nobody's saying anything.
You can hear the rain in my building here. No. All right. So obviously, there's no answer for that challenge. I challenge a Muslim, get me a book where some Muslims in Egypt fought for the slavery in Egypt. In Cairo, markets where they used to buy.
Fought against the slavery.
So the 19th century, huh?
You mean fought against the slavery. They might have fought for it, but
fought against it to end it, brother. I'm talking about to end that evil, sinful act of people. Now, I challenge any Muslim to switch that statement here. And instead of saying in America, just pick up another Muslim country. Give me a name of a person. I know how Muslim would say, oh, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He spent all his money to buy slaves to set them free. He didn't even have money to eat. He and his wives, the 13 of them, and the other concubines, they used to go to bed hungry because all of the money Muhammad used to have, he used it to buy slaves to set them free. But they forgot to tell us that his own slave, Bilal, stayed a slave either until Muhammad died. And as we're going to see in the end of our study, we're talking about slavery and Islam, they forgot to tell us that the Quran, Allah Almighty, and Muhammad, the teaching of the Son of Muhammad, promote slavery until the Day of Judgment. I will share with you some of the statements of some of the top Muslim thinkers. If you have said that statement about any person in America today, that person will be dead. But these are great Muslim thinkers. And if you hear it, it will shock you. It will turn, I mean, it will shake your bones. So let's study and get deep in our study. Here is slavery a historical perspective of slavery in the West. I hope you can hear it. You cannot hear it.
No, no. Okay. Says, while much has been written concerning the transatlantic slave trade to the Americas.
Christy, get ready for this one. Go ahead.
Very little attention has been given to the Islamic slave trade across the Sahara, the Red Sea, and the Indian Ocean.
As I said earlier, I promise you, go to, tomorrow morning, do me a favor, and go to your library on Monday morning, if they're not over on Sunday. Go to any library in America and look for slavery in Islam. Books about slavery in Islam. You know what the number is? Or you're going to find a book which is going to tell you exactly what it says, that Islam ended slavery. But in reality, there'll be hundreds of books written by the people of the West to talk about the slave trade in the West, if it's to Europe or to here to America. Okay? Here we go, Paul.
While the European involvement in the transatlantic slave trade to the Americas lasted for 300 years.
Go ahead, Christy.
The Muslim involvement in the slave trade has lasted over 14 centuries and still continues in some parts of the Muslim world.
So imagine with me, there were 300 years of slavery of the West and 1,400 years of slavery in Islam. Thousands of books written about what was in the past, the 300 years, which we found out when exactly ended, but nothing is written about the 1,400 years of slavery in the Muslim world. Like, Black Lives Matter to some people in America. If these blacks were killed by a white or harassed by a white, but if it's black against black, as we see it in Chicago every week, 51 were shot last week. 11 of them are dead, I believe. That's okay. That's not the issue because that will not divide America. We only talk about when a white officer shoots a black one. If a black man shoots and kills a cop, that's okay. That's no big deal. And the same people who make a big deal about some policeman shooting a black man, who, by the way, was great criminal, and they make him a saint and a holy, godly man, because he was shot with a white cop, not one people group, not Black Lives Matter or any other group in America, talk about what's happening right now in Africa by the hands of the Muslims to black people. I'm not talking about killing 50 like Chicago. Forget about Chicago. I'm talking about wiping villages. The men are killed and the women are raped and the children are taken as concubine slaves by the hands of the Muslims today in Africa. Because the 1400 years did not end slavery in Islam. And Islam will never stop slavery. As we're going to see later when we look at slavery in Islam according to the teaching of the Quran and the teaching of Muhammad. Let's move on our study. Here is in the West. Go ahead.
While the mortality rate for slaves that were transported across the Atlantic was as high as 10%,
the percentage of slaves who died in transit in the Trans-Sahara and Eastern African slave trade was between 80 and 90%.
Imagine with me. I mean, the numbers should shock people. Somebody should write books about that. Hundreds of them. No. You see, if it's going to make Islam look bad, nobody's going to say it. If it's going to make Christianity and Judaism look bad, who will sign up for it? I was just watching a video last week. It was sent to me by my dear friend, Latia. And we're going to share that video, maybe in the near future, where the man mocking Christianity because he says Christians are cowards. Christians will not defend their religion. He actually became a Muslim from a Christian perspective for that. For that. He said, I can wear a shirt and I say, Jesus was gay. And nobody touched me. And nobody harmed me. But if I say Muhammad was gay, for sure I'll be dead before even I walk across the street somewhere. Huh.
The difference is some of that might be true.
Well, it is true. I'm not saying it's not. It's true. But here's the realistic. We write hundreds of books, but thousands of books about the number of slaves who left Africa to go to the Europe and to America, 10%. But nobody have a guts to talk about the numbers who actually died and killed in the desert between Africa, the West, and the East, those who went to the Muslim world. Does it make any sense? Why? Maybe because we're a bunch of cowards and we're afraid to write a book against slavery in Islam and somebody kill us. That's exactly what it is. It's not like it is unknown information. Here I am sharing it with you. But how many people are talking about that? But few. Little number. If we got 1,000 books about slavery in the West, we should have, according to that, at least 10,000 books written about slavery in Islam. Look at the number, 10% to 90%. 1,000, 9,000, 10,000. No. Nobody will touch the subject of slavery and Islam or slavery in the Middle East. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, almost all the slaves shipped to the Americas were for agricultural work.
Most of the slaves sent to the Middle East were for sexual exploitation in harems or for military service.
And I'm going to prove to you this very simple. The number of Muslims who went to Africa, if I say the number of Muslims who left Africa to the East Coast is equal to the number of the Muslims who left Africa in the West Coast. So let's say whoever could, 10% here, 10% here. That's it. Just imagine. Let's go back now to the Muslim world and tell me, how many black live in Saudi Arabia? None, hardly any. And all the other Muslim countries, hardly any. Why? Why we have black in America, but we have black in the Muslim country, assuming that they even have the same number? But the other is true. The number of slaves taken to the East Coast, to the Muslim world, is much higher than those who came to America. Because when they came to America, the purpose of their coming here, I'm talking about America, South and North America, because trust me, you're going to get shocked when you get the right number of how many of the slaves came to the United States of America, the 50 states up north here, okay? Not Canada, just America, because there's hardly any people went up to Canada. So, listen to this. We brought them here because we need them to live. We need them to work. I'm saying, when I say we, the Americans, not me, I never owned a slave. I'm black, I'm not white, so obviously I cannot say we. None of my Christian family heritage of Egypt in Africa ever owned a slave. We don't own slaves. Muslims own us as slaves, but that's okay for now. So they come here to work in the field, so we need them alive. That's why we allow them to continue to grow in health and in number. That's why we allow them to get married, so they can have children. The married, the better for the farmers who bought the slaves, because you own them, and you own the children, and you own the grandchildren. The married, the better, okay? Now, when they left the East Coast of Africa to go and fight the battle, what do you think happened when you go to battle? Oh, they promised them, Brother Paul, they said, listen carefully, guys. They give the promise. If we win, you'll be free. If you live, you'll be free. And how many of them become free? I don't know. I cannot find any right now. Let's go to Egypt, see how many black in Egypt are slaves. None. Okay? And by the way, if you talk about racism, oh boy. Black in Egypt, the people of Egypt who are my color skin, they hate black. They're racist against black. Not like any, you would never find anybody in America equal to Egyptian who does not like black. Nobody does not like black. As a matter of fact, I was speaking in Walmart, Minnesota, and I offered this idea. Why not Saudi take you as a refugee in Saudi? I'm talking to the Muslim Somali. And two ladies openly said, well, because they're racist, they don't like us because we're black. Muslim Saudi do not like Muslim Somali because Muslim Saudi is racist. That is the fact. That is the truth. So they got the ladies to have sex with, and they got the men to fight for. And even if the men go to the Saudi Arabia, they fix them sexually. They fix them, as we're going to read here in a little bit, to make sure that they will never have the desire to have sex with the Muslim ladies. And when a woman got pregnant, I'm talking about the once had sex with, the baby was killed. Court, where are the babies? Tell me, where are the babies? Okay, let's move on. Let's move on. In the West and in the East. Of course, I got this picture for everybody to see. Yes. Here we go. They were collecting the workers of the field. As a matter of fact, here we go. They collected cotton for the white master. They survived. They work hard. They have hardship. They were abused. They were treated as like slaves. But they live. And in the end of our study, in this comparison between the Islam slavery and the slavery of the West, I have a very important message for all the black Americans. I hope and I pray that someone will hear what I'm going to say about slavery in America. So anyway, let's move on. In the West,
while many children were born to slaves in the Americas, and millions of their descendants are citizens to this very day.
Very few descendants of the slaves that ended up in the Middle East survived.
Don't take my word for it. Let's count how many black we have in America. We know them. Millions. Let's go to the Muslim country who had similar number of slaves. How many black are there? None. They found out why. Here we go. Continue.
While most slaves who went to the Americas could marry and have families.
Ooh. It is a blessing. Nobody talk about it. I know they were slaves. I know some of them were beaten physically. I know some of them were killed throughout escape. I know they were treated very ungodly. But guess what? They were able to marry and have
children. Some of those marriages were arranged for them and told, you know, genetic engineering type things going on, but
sure.
They were still allowed to marry.
And have children. Because I got the evidence. Let's go to the Middle East.
Most of the male slaves shipped to the Middle East were castrated, and most of the children born were killed at birth.
That's exactly what I told earlier. When you fix a man like you fix your dog, he will never have sex again, and he will never be able to have a woman pregnant. Maybe that makes sense now. Why we don't have black descendants of the slaves, which the Arab had for all these years? And when a baby is born out of this woman whom they were having sex with, you see, we're going to see this in the Quran as we study in the Hadith. The purpose for a man to have a female slave is not to have a family. Just to enjoy it sexually. It is what the right hand possesses. As a matter of fact, as we're going to see in the Quran in our study, in the end of our study, that a man can have a slave and he got all his bodies. I got 10 slaves. He gets 10 of his bodies to sleep with. Not to have family, have children. No. To just enjoy the good sexual time. To have a nice orgasm with this slave. No more or less. It's not for the purpose of having baby. Like marriage for fun. Even in the Muslim world today, when a Muslim marry a woman for fun, it's not to have a baby. Now, if she got pregnant, that's her problem. Because you have a contract, and if the contract says, I would like to marry you as a wife for a family, but the contract says, I would like to marry you 3 days for $150. You pay her $150, and she's goodbye. She got pregnant or not, that's not your problem. And 10 of the marriage for fun in Islam, according to the Quran, is for a man to have birth time with a woman, no more or less. And that's exactly what the Muslims would call this harem, the ladies they were sleeping with. For her to have babies, that's not the purpose of having sex with. That's why they killed these babies. Men were fixed up good, trust me. Muslims would never leave a man full health and full strength with their harem, with their wives or their daughters. They fix him to make sure that he will never even do that. As a matter of fact, as we read in the Quran, Allah said, a Muslim woman cannot be shown to anybody but to their husband, their brothers, their sons, and then the man who cannot have sex, the man who was castrated, the man who was fixed. Who fixed him? Not the good Muslim masters. Satam. Continue. In the West.
It is estimated that as many as 11 million Africans were transported across the Americas, 95% to Central and South America, 5% the United States.
I mean, if you look at the number 5%, you may assume that nobody wrote a book about it, because we're talking about 5% of 11 million, 5% of the 10% which came all the way from the west coast of Africa through the Atlantic Ocean to America. So the number of slaves who came to America, we can give the calculator, and I fixed up for you, to be exactly 5% of 11 million. So 11 million, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times 5 divided by 100 equals 550,000. That's how many slaves came to America. A little bit over
half a million. A little over a half million.
And if you figure it out exactly as 300 million, you come up from that number, of course, that men and women, you come up with this number with the number of black Americans who live in America today. The fact. Numbers speak for itself. Where are the rest? Oh, they went to South America. Let's go to South America. Do we have any black in South America? Yes, indeed, all of them. All the islands, all the people live in South America, they're all black. They're not white skin. Where did they come from? They came from Africa. Notice now, the people who are in America, the 5% who came out of the 11 million come to America, right now, most of them who work hard are educated. They're doctors, they're lawyers, they're teachers, they're governors, they're senators, they are mayors. They can have any job anybody wants. Let's look at the rest of the 95% of the black who came to South America. What are they? Do you think they love to come to America? The United States of America? I'm not talking about people who come from Africa. I'm talking about people in South America. Do we have every day 200,000-300,000 of them who love to come to this country illegally? And many of them sacrificed their life. They died on their way coming from South America to us. Why? Because it's a better place. As a matter of fact, the only country people are dying to go to is America. The European would love to come to America. The African would love to come to America. The Asian would love to come to America. The Canadian would like to come to America. South American would like to come to America. It must be so bad here, guys. It must be so bad that everybody would like to come here. No. Let's look at something negative. Let's divide this country so we can burn it to the ground. Let's drown the ship of the United States of America, even though the whole world would love to come to it. Okay, Christy. Go ahead, sister.
However, nearly 30 million Africans were enslaved in the Muslim Middle East. Since 80% of those captured by Muslim slave traders died in transport, it is estimated that over 110 million Africans died in the Muslim slave trade.
Why would they not have any books talk about that? Maybe the number is not important, or maybe black life does not matter. Where are
I actually did a search on Amazon for that particular topic, and I could only find maybe 3 or 4 books.
Brother, and most likely people will not read them.
No, they're old. They're very old books.
And I know that's a fact. That's how I get my information. Now, we think about it. Is this fake news?
No.
I wonder if YouTube will take that video out because it's false information. It's like if you say Muhammad's a child molester, that is false information. Remove the video. Jesus is the Son of God? That's false information. Remove the video. Muhammad was an awesome, great prophet of God. Loving and peaceful prophet. The video stays. We're living in the end of time where evil is called good and call and good is called evil. And if you call evil evil, you're wrong, and we're going to shut you down. And if you call good good, you're wrong, and we'll shut you down. Now, can you imagine with me, 110 million black men and women were taken from Africa through the East Coast, that is the Sahara up north, or the Sahara Desert, or through the Red Sea, the Mediterranean Sea, to go to the Muslim world. 110 million. And how many came to America? 11 million. I know. Some of the people were on the ship. They got sick and they froze in the ocean and they died. I know.
And you're only talking about, I want to point out there's one important thing here that should that hasn't been really mentioned is you're only talking about Africans here that are enslaved.
Yes. We're talking about those who came out of Africa. And we're talking about three specific countries in Africa. I think Muslims literally wiped out, over 100 million slaves, but America saved the life of 11 million slaves. How can you save them? Because they're still alive today, and their children and their grandchildren are still alive today. And in the United States of America, they can be anything they choose to be. Let's move on. What time we have now, guys? We're good. We're good on
11:30.
We're good on time. Here we go.
Okay. While the anti-slavery abolitionist movements in Europe and North America were led by concerned Christians.
Concerned Christians. You know why? Because as I said earlier, Christianity does not teach it. Christianity teaches you own a slave, you sold a slave, that's fine. You're going to burn in hell. It is like any other sin. If you have not seen the first podcast, please go back and watch the first and the second and the third. It does. If this is your first time to follow us in the study, with all respect, please watch the first three broadcasts as we continue our study. It's a sin. And Christians fought against it. And we give you the names of those who died and fought against slavery, as we saw in the first square, first slide. We have now program today in the blue writing. Well, let's compare this to in Islam. What do we have there, Sister Christine?
There was no similar opposition to slavery within the Muslim world.
And I challenge the Muslim, give me the name. Give me the name. I can tell you John Hendry or Joe Smith, and we know about these people. We can go back to where they live, what they did, blah, blah, blah. Now, give me the name of some Muslim Khalifa who says Allah in the Quran is dead wrong. Muhammad was absolutely dead wrong, and we need to free slaves, and we're going to fight the free slaves. Can you give me a name of one? I'm not asking for two. Okay, just one. Cricket again? It must be cricket. Okay, Paul?
Even after Britain outlawed the slave trade in 1807 and Europe abolished the slave trade in 1815,
Muslim slave traders enslaved an additional 2 million Africans. By some calculations, the number of victims of the 14 centuries of Islamic slave trade could exceed 180 million.
Are you shocked? So slavery in the West 300 years and ended in Europe around 1807, and went 1815. In the 1815 until recent time, another 2 million. So God help us. For those who have ears to hear and eyes to see, and brain to comprehend. That is exactly what Islam did in this world. The destruction of millions and millions. And don't take me wrong, what happened in Europe and what happened in America was evil. But at least it was acknowledged to be evil and it ended by the Christians of the West. But in Islam, I challenge you, find me Imam who will say the Quran is wrong. What I'm going to be doing in the next portion when we go to slavery in the Quran, I'm going to read you the verse of the Quran. I'm going to read you the interpretation of that verse by Muslim scholars. I'm going to read you what the Muslim thinkers think about these slavery issues. And you tell me, they're wrong. It's not hard. Some Muslim comes to show and says, that's not what Allah meant in the Quran. That's not what Muhammad meant in the Hadith. You got it wrong, Mr. Dax. And I will confess to you, if you can convince me that I got it wrong, and you know better than Allah and Muhammad and your scholars, then it's fine. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. In the West. Brother Paul.
Nearly 100 years after President Abraham Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation making slavery illegal in America.
50?
It was not until 1980 that some Muslim countries removed legalized slavery from their statutes. Today, many international organizations document that slavery still continues in some Muslim countries.
I know this for a fact. I got some friends right now in Saudi Arabia, right now, and the Filipinos and the Asians, different people from different countries, the Muslim in the Middle East, who go work in Saudi Arabia. They think they're going on a work visa, okay? And when they get to the country, they take their passport from them, the group, you know, that's you, oh, that's your passport. All right, we'll keep the passport in our state. And all these women are nothing but slaves. Today, in Saudi Arabia, today in Qatar, today in Kuwait, by my own eyes, Christy Johnson, I shared this with you when I was in Kuwait Airport, and I can give you the date and the hour as they stamped my passport, 3 o'clock in the morning, 15 years, 16 years ago, in my last trip to the Middle East before I appeared face and sound on my TV shows. At the 16 years old. I have my passport. I can look at the date and the passport, and I tell you what hour at night. I saw by these eyes two long line of girls in the airport of Kuwait, a country of 1.5 million people. And the men have branches of tree, and they were beating them on their body, on the shoulders, and they speak garbage language to them. I could not sleep at night. I stayed in Kuwait 3 days. It's the worst 3 days of my life because I was eating inside me. We were on a mission trip supposed to have 7,200 Old Testament, New Testament and the Book of Psalms, and a good 1,400, 1,500 the full Bible. And we're supposed to take these Bibles to Iraq. And because I am on a mission with three other Americans, I kept my mouth shut because inside my heart, I want to go talk to these people. Where are you from? Who bought you? Who sold you? How in the world you even quit? 3 o'clock in the morning. I wish I had a camera to record the whole thing, but you know what? Have I done that? You will never have seen me tonight. That'll be the end of you, Salma, 16 years ago or 17 years ago. Whatever that date was. Slavery exists in the country of Kuwait. Slavery exists in Saudi Arabia and in Bahrain and in Qatar and all these rich oil countries. They love women. I mean, why do they only have girls? Why don't they have any boys? Because they can enjoy the sexuality as they're slaves. They're slaves. Today, I guarantee you, in the Muslim world, they're slaves. They may have a work visa to get in the country, but when you lose your passport, you no longer have your passport, you're not on a work visa, you're on a slave visa. God help us. One more slide. Luke 4:18.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor.
You still there, Paul?
We lost Paul.
Okay. You want me to go ahead and read it before he comes?
If you don't mind, Chris, I'll say he
okay.
Comes.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised.
This is the words of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is how Christian ought to live.
Or he has sent me to heal the broken.
There's a little, more than a little delay for Paul. Paul, I don't know if you can hear us or not. Christy read the verse like an hour ago. I'm just kidding.
No.
Can you see him at all? Is he frozen? I cannot see it.
Well, I can't see him because the screen is just the slide.
It's cool. All right. Christy, let's get to the last one here to read what the Quran says. Just a quick impression because we're going to get into the Quran in depth. Lord is willing. Go ahead, sister, read 9:5.
So when the forbidden months are past, so kill the polytheists wherever you find them, and take them, the slaves, and besiege them, and lay wait for them with every kind of ambush. So if they repent and perform the prayer and give the legal alms, so leave their way free.
Imagine the difference between Jesus' words and Muhammad or Allah's words. It's like hell and heaven. It's like black and white. It's like darkness and light. It's like freedom and slavery.
Yes.
Lord is willing, when we meet next Saturday, we're going to start with this slide because I think we need to dig deep in these two slides, comparison here between what the Bible teaches and what the Quran teaches on freedom and liberty and slavery. So we're going to stop here, Christy, until Lord's willing, next Saturday, we can catch up for you again. And we need to stop sharing. Brother Paul, are you back? Are you alive?
Yeah, I'm back. It's funny because I didn't notice I was gone, but I had to restart it.
Brother, that's okay.
What slide are we on?
Well, we're going to be on next podcast, Lord's willing. I want you to remind me to start with slide number. I'm going to tell you the number of the slide here. Slide number 76. Can you remind me of that?
Okay, 76.
Okay, right. That is Luke 4:18 and Quran 9:5 as we continue to study the slavery in the historical perspective, Islam versus the West. Islam versus the West. We're not going to talk about the slide today because I'm really exhausted, tired from all day long. And my day started. Roughly around 3 weeks ago. That's how my day started. So the last 3 weeks since I left here and went to Mississippi and went to Louisiana, back to Mississippi and to Texas and to Louisiana to here, to Illinois to here. This is my last 3 weeks. It's quite a hard 3 weeks, less sleep and a little bit headache. But God is good. God is good. Any comments you guys want to share? You got the floor for, a minute each or so, 2 minutes each, whatever you want to share. Go ahead, Christy. Start with Christy, ladies first.
Start with Paul, because I had something, but I...
Start with Paul.
Start with Paul.
As an educator, someone who taught social studies for 20-some years, I look at what they teach in public schools, and they never... ever once mention Islam and slavery. In fact, I have right beside me about 8 different social studies textbooks. Not one of them under the topic of Islam mentions slavery once. Not one of them, when they're talking about slavery, mentions Islam once. And that is problematic.
I'm telling you, Paul, we're a bunch of cowards. We're afraid. I can wear a shirt tomorrow, Jesus is a gay, and I walk with it all over America. Not one Christian will harm me. But I will put Muhammad is gay. Trust me, I'm dead.
I have a friend who wore something similar in Toronto. It was Toronto. No, it wasn't Toronto. It was Quebec. No, Montreal. Sorry, Montreal. Quebec. Sorry, Quebec. He wore it in Quebec. And he got arrested.
For wearing what?
It was a rainbow with Islam.
Well, we've seen that.
Yeah. He got arrested to the point where, you know, I say arrested. That's not actually, it's a partial truth. The people who, the mall where he was at, this guy started to accost him and started to beat him up. The rent-a-cops tried to have him arrested. They called the cops to have him arrested, find a reason to arrest him.
You remember
the rent-a-cops thought it was illegal for this guy to be offending somebody.
Yeah. But remember our friend David and Nabil Qureshi, and I believe two more with them, they were arrested in Dearborn for sharing the gospel, giving the gospel of John to the people, the Muslims who were in the festivals there. I mean, literally in the street, they arrested four of them, and each one of them paid $500 in the morning to be set free from jail. Can you imagine? I can give a Quran in any church in America. I can grab a Quran and go in. I can go inside the Congress and Senate and give the Quran, and not one person will touch me. But to give the Bible to the Christian in America, people got arrested for it.
Well, it's ironic, Paul, what you're saying, because in the United States, same Muslims recruit the gay churches to go out and protest USAMA on behalf of Islam. They're protecting Islam. The lies
it's so
and deception
so
are just crazy.
It's so backwards. And God help us. Anything else, Paul, Christy?
I think if you've listened to this and you have questions, feel free to contact USAMA. Feel free to contact any one of us. We will do everything we can to get you the facts and the truth.
And when we finish with this study, I would love to have people to discuss it with us. We got the slides. We can go back and forth. If you see anything we teach, you don't think it's true, it's accurate, well, let's talk about it. Let's investigate it. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, I was just going to say real quickly that if people can remember and you wonder, is slavery practiced in Islam today? You should think back, Michelle Obama and everybody protesting all these girls that were captured and kept as slaves. That was what that was, folks. Slavery in Islam.
Michelle Obama or brother Michael Obama holding a paper like this and saying, please free our girls.
Bring back
please.
Our girls.
Please, my foot, you
yeah.
idiot.
Yeah. Anyway,
please do anything. Under that president to stop the slavery of those girls.
Nothing was done. And so it does still go on.
Some of them escaped years later.
Yes.
Who lived with their children.
They did.
A lady escaped with two children. One was like 4 or 5 years old. The other one is 2. Can you imagine being raped and have 2 babies?
It was terrible.
I wonder how many of these little girls died when they were having their babies.
Well, she will never know. Like everything else,
it's impossible. It's impossible. Yeah. But if I can show you the picture, maybe I hate Paul. Put this on your paper. Find me the picture. Michelle Obama holding a paper, and in it it says, "Please free our girls." Find me.
I've got that someplace.
You know, just get it ready. So if somebody says that's not true, that's not happening, then you really have to be. You know what's happening right now in Iran? That's slavery.
Yeah.
The Muslim ladies.
Yeah.
So Muslim free ladies, if you cover your hair, but a little bit here, show the bottom here, we'll kill you.
That's right.
If that's not slavery, what is slavery, America?
Yeah.
If that is not slavery, I mean, I talk about the whole entire country of Iran. Free Muslim women are slaves in Islam. Anyway, our time is up. Thank you, Paul. Thanks, Christy. I appreciate you both.
Thank you.
And please, guys, share this video. Ring the bell, like us, and join us again next month. Because, by the way, I found out some of our videos are no longer on YouTube. They are removing them.
Yeah.
We need to find out which one is they are false so we can re-post them back again. And this stupid is the media. It's not Facebook or YouTube. When you hinder us, you're destroying yourself, you idiot. When you stop my videos, you're really digging grave for your children, you stupid. No more or less I can say than that. God help us. God bless you all, and good night, and I'm going to end with this video, and we're not going to have question and answer tonight, because I'm so exhausted, and I'm so tired. God bless you all.
It astounds me that people who are going to buy a new stereo system, or a new automobile, or a refrigerator, will spend a great deal of time reading the magazines, looking into the consumer reports, and selecting the very best one for the money. But when it comes to their eternal souls, they flippantly say, well, everybody has their own belief, you know. One day, a famous preacher in America, Harry Ironside, was preaching on the streets. A passerby interrupted him and said, excuse me, sir, how do you expect an ordinary man like me to figure out the right way? There are thousands of beliefs in the world. Harry Ironside said, sir, thousands of beliefs? I only know of two. Said the man, there's Buddhism and Confucianism and Hinduism and Islam and all the isms of Christendom. What do you mean only two beliefs? Ironside said, there are those who believe they can save themselves and those who believe they need a savior. All of the religions of the world basically tell you there's something you need to do to save yourself. But the message of Christianity is unique in this, that it proclaims to men and women a savior. There are many people who say, well, the Bible is just another holy book. They're all pretty much the same. Now, people who say that haven't done their homework. What God did for us so that we could authenticate the message of Jesus as he came into the world was, before ever he came, hundreds of years before he came, to paint a portrait in words that would exactly describe him when he did come. One prophet said that he was going to be betrayed, and you would assume that his betrayal would be done by his enemies. No, said another prophet, it would be his friend, his confidant. You would presume that if he was betrayed by the Jews, that he would be executed by stoning. That was the traditional form of execution by the Jews. Remember, they did it with Stephen. They tried to do it with Paul. No, says another prophet, they will pierce his hands and his feet. In fact, the description of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, written about 1,000 years before it happened, describes his crucifixion more than 700 years before crucifixion was invented. You would assume that if a man was to be sold for a price, according to Jewish law, a man would be sold for 50 pieces of silver. No, said the scripture, he will be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Now, isn't that an astounding fact? The very people who were trying to disprove his messiahship knew that scripture. And all they had to do to disqualify him from being the Messiah was pay 31 pieces of silver, and he wouldn't have been the Messiah. And they paid 30 pieces of silver and sealed the amount of money in the public record. Where would the Messiah be born? Where would he come from? Matthew quotes, first of all, that Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. So said Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, perhaps 750, 800 years before the Lord Jesus came, Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. You arrange the town you're born in. You try to arrange the family you're born to. I suggest it would be a bit tough to do. But you see, that's not the extent of it, because as I pointed out, it was those who did not want him to look like the Messiah who paid the 30 pieces of silver and who authenticated his messiahship by that. I've given you fulfilled prophecies. There are over 300 of them. Now, my friend, you've got to do something with that. You can ignore it. But if you examine the Word of God, you will discover that unlike any other religion in the world, God has taken your brain seriously, and he has given you hard evidence to believe that Jesus has proven himself to be the Messiah, the Son of God, and declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that gives you evidence in history to authenticate its truthfulness. But there's more. Some people think that if they do good in certain situations, that they will get a credit with God to overcome the bad things they've done. Some people say, well, I think I'm a pretty good person. Listen, you don't even come up to your own standards, let alone God's. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, in other words, by seeking to live a good life and keep the Ten Commandments, live by the golden rule, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Everybody falls short of God's standard. No matter how wicked a sinner you are, no matter how good you think you are, God has made an offer to the human race. To those who find the way barred, because their own sin and failure has kept them from meeting God's standard, there is an alternative. It is the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all those who believe, for all have sinned. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that lets you be honest with God about your sin. You ask someone who's trying to get to heaven by the good works, how are you doing? Oh, not bad. Oh, really? Not bad, huh? Oh, doing pretty good. Doing my best. Well, you are. I've never met anybody who does their best, even by their own standards. God doesn't ask you to pretend you're okay. He wants you to be honest with him. Now listen carefully, and you may not believe me at first, but it's true. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that offers a savior. Islam doesn't offer a savior. Islam says save yourself. It's a do-it-yourself religion. And all the religions of the world fall under the same category. You do it, and if you do it well enough, you'll get to heaven. And as long as you think you can save yourself, any religion will do. But when you find out you need a savior, the list is very short. There's only one, and his name is Jesus. Now, save yourself is an absolutely ludicrous statement. If you're in a burning building, and you're screaming out the window, help, save me, and I'm walking by and I say, ah, save yourself. Listen, if you can save yourself, you don't need to be saved. You can't save yourself. When Christ died on the cross, he paid the debt you owed. And in exchange for your sin, taking your sin, he has offered you his rightness, his righteousness, as a gift, a free exchange. Salvation is not something you earn. Salvation is a gift. Every other religion ultimately says that when you stand before God, you're desperately hoping that he's going to fudge a bit to let you into heaven. There's no follower of any religion that says, when I stand before God someday, I'm going to say to him, okay, God, here's your challenge. Put my life up on this side, put your law on that side, and I challenge you to find one thing wrong with my life. Is that what people are going to say? No, no. They're hoping against hope that somehow they're going to slip in, maybe in the top half percent. Maybe they're going to get in if God won't be too careful at looking at their life. However can I expect to get into heaven? Oh, says God, here's what we'll do. I'll account your debt to my son. He'll pay it in full. So God sets the standard. God hands over the bills, and then he pays it himself. Examine the evidence. Not only the evidence in the Bible, the evidence in your own heart that you're a sinner and you need a savior, and you can't save yourself. And then read what the Bible has to say about the Lord Jesus, the savior of sinners. He came to save you. And if you will, as the Bible declares, be honest with God about your sin. That's what the Bible calls repentance. And receive the Lord Jesus as the Savior of sinners. Say, oh God, I don't know why you'd want me. I'm damaged goods. But you said that whoever came to you, you would in no wise cast out. Take me now. Save me now. I give up. I'll accept the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.